Today's daf is daf Nun Gimel. We are going to start from the Mishnah, the new perek on the bottom of Nun Beis and Beis. The fifth perek discusses how to measure the tchum from the city. Most cities are not exactly even. It's not a perfect square, so you just can't measure out. Just leaving the city, there's parts of the city which extend further than other parts. So the Mishnah discusses how the city is measured. Ketzad ma'avrin es ha'arim. How do we measure? How are we ma'aber the cities? Meaning, how do we extend the boundaries of the city before you measure the tchum? Because you have to have the measurement of the city, where the city limit is to, and then once you have that city limit, then you measure out the tchum of 2,000 amos. Bayis nichnes, bayis yotze, if a house is in a little bit or protrudes from the rest of the city's border, or pagum nichnes, pagum yotze, the tower of the city is recessed and or a tower protrudes from the city wall, or hayusham gduliyos gvoyos asar tfachim, or if there were ruins of walls or houses that were 10 tfachim high, which extend from the city walls or the city corners, so that now these gduliyos, they were not exactly a part of the city wall, they were within 70 and 2/3 amas of the town's perimeter. So another case, uksharim are bridges that have a booth where there's a toll collector who lives or stays over there. When the fashas are the proper translation would be mausoleums. There would be a kever, a grave, covered by a building. Similar to the old picture we have of Kevin Rachel before it was turned into basically a military outpost the last few years, but the old-fashioned picture of Kevin Rachel with the dome, that there was a kever there, and there's a building on top of it. And that is what the mission refers to as nefashos. And if these things have, you know, the gesher or the mausoleum, based dira, there's a dwelling place over there. So the din is motzi and a samida kenegdam. Then, by virtue of the fact that they are attached or next to the city, they extended the tchum of the city opposite them across the entire length of the city. So just to give a little example. Let's say the city is a square, and there is this mausoleum that has the Beis Dira, which is 60 amos or 70 amos outside the gate of the city. So you could start the 2,000 amos from the entrance of the mausoleum. And we're explaining now how you draw the tchum. You make the tchum surround the city like a square tablet. Today, in order, and this verse is obvious, so one gains the additional area in the corners. The Gemara and the Afnun Hay will deal with this at length, what the last two lines of the Mishnah mean and how that is drawn. Now, we have a machlokes, Rav Shmuel. The Gemara starts Rav Shmuel, have a machlokes chatpani, ma'arvin. One learns the opening line of our Mishnah, which says, our Mishnah starts ketzad ma'arvin esarim. One learns that is with an ayin. The other one learns that it shouldn't be with an ayin, but the ma'arvin should be with an aleph, not an ayin. Man de toni ma'arvin with an aleph explains this as aver. Which means, Aver means a limb. You have a limb parallel to another one. And that is how the city is extended. Because the limbs jut out from the city like a person's limbs go out from a person's body. Ma'arvin with an ayin is kiish over, like a pregnant woman. There's an extension, her body is expanded when she's pregnant. And now, once we have this machleke is Rabbi Shmuel, but how to explain our Mishnah, we have another machleke is Rabbi Shmuel, with a similar type of machleke is about how to explain words. That is, Ma'aras HaMachpela, this is actually very apropos of this week's parasha. Ma'aras HaMachpela, the Rabbi Shmuel of Machleke is Chalam HaShnei Batim Zel Lefnim Mizeh. There are two houses, or two rooms, one in front of the other. A house, a room, and another one, nothing, no one on top of that. But ask that one is on top of the other. Then we understand. That's why it's called a double cave. Ella lamandi amar shnei batim zeh lifnei mizeh. But the one who says that it was two rooms, one in front of the other, so my machpelah. And what does it mean that's a double cave? It's just a cave with two rooms. It's not a double cave. So the Gemara responds, shekfula bezugas. The reason why it's called double is because it has doubles of couples. There are a few couples buried over there. That's why it's called Machpelah for the couples. Now, we're explaining this full of bezuga is showing how that's true. It says Mamre Kiryas Arba. Mamre, which is the city of four. What does that mean? I'm Rabbi Yitzchak. Kiryas Arba Zugas. The city are the four couples that are buried over there. Who are they? They are Adam Lechava. That's one couple. Avram Besara is another. Yitzchak Rivka is the third couple. Yaakov Leh is the fourth couple. The four couples buried there, according to some midrashim. Gemara, Esav's head is also buried over there. That is actually a dispute among the Drashim. But as far as couples, there are four couples buried over there, which seems to be Lekuliyama. And now we're going to another Machlekes Rabbi Shmuel, again with the meaning of a word. Okay, the Machlekes of Rabbi Shmuel discusses something that was Negeya with last week's Pasha, but even may Amrafel. This, it was in the days of Amraphel. Remember, Amraphel was from the four kings who fought against the five kings. So we have a machlokes Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel Ochanan Amar Nimrod Shmoy. Amraphel was really Nimrod. Nimrod was his real name. Olama Nikra Shmo Amraphel. And why was he called Amraphel? The reason is because Sheomar V'Hitla Avram Avinu B'Tech Kivshanayish. Because he gave the order and that Avram, our father, should be thrown into the fiery furnace. For Chad Amar, the other man, the Amraphel, says Amraphel Shmo. His real name was really Amraphel. Alam and Nikra Shmo Nimrod. So why was he called Nimrod? Shehimrod is called Kulei Olav Machusay, because he led the whole world in a rebellion against HaKadosh Baruch. So Nimrod is a name of Himrid. He led a merida, a rebellion against God, and that rebellion was during the generation of the power above the Haflaga. The person who had that bright idea, so to speak, was Nimrid. So he was the person who led the rebellion, which led to the disaster of the Haflaga. Now we're going to another machlekes between Rav and Shmuel again over the meaning of a word. It says, "Vayakom Melech Chadash al Mitzrayim." This is one of the most famous machlekes that we have. Rav and Shmuel Rashi brings it. It says in Chumash, "A new king arose over Mitzrayim." And this is where they started to enslave Jews. Rav and Shmuel have machlekes. What it means? Chadam Chadash Mamish was actually a really new king. The old king died, and this king was a new person who was not on the throne before. B'chad Amar, the other one says, he was not actually a new king, but rather, his decrees were new, and he changed his heart from being someone who had appreciated the Jews to one who had hated them, and therefore made rules against them. Ma'adam HaKadosh Ma'amish, the one who says that it was actually a new king, Why does he say that? Because the word in the Torah is new, a new king. Who says that it was a new Gzeira and not a new king? How does he say that? Why does he say that? Because it doesn't say that the previous king died and that a new king arose. And the one who says that it was new decrees. So how do you explain that it was Haksiv Ashallah? That's Yosef. The Torah says he didn't know Yosef. But you know, if it was an old king who just made a new Gzeir, how can you say that he didn't know Yosef? Of course he knew Yosef. So the answer is Maya Ashallah is Yosef. The Hava, the dummy, he made himself like Yosef Kal. He made himself like pretend that he did not know Yosef, and he was not maki, did not recognize the great benefit that Yosef had brought to Mitzrayim and the wealth. And in that way, by going against his recognition of Yosef, he was able to come up with these cruel decrees against the Jews. Rabbi Yochanan says, this is going back to the Aleph or Ayin discussion that we had about the first line in the Mishnah. Yudachas Yom Gidalti Eitzel Rabbi Shiv Ribi. I spent 18 days with Rabbi Shiv Ribi. Ribi means that he was a very kosh of a man. And Volamati Mimeno El Dover Echad. I learned one thing from him in Mishnah Seinu and our Mishnah. Kesed Ma'avna Sa'aram Ba'al. He learned Ma'avin is with an aleph, not with an ayin. I think one of the challenges this statement of Rabbi Yochanan with another one. Over here, it indicates the Gemara that Rabbi Yochanan did not learn anything from Rabbi Shia Paribi except one minute Girsa question in the Mishnah, and that's not like another member of Rabbi Yochanan, where apparently he learned a lot. Hi, Va'amar Rabbi Yochanan, Yudbez Talmidim, Ha'ilad Rabbi Shia Paribi. Rabbi Yochanan Paribi had 12 Talmidim. Yud Ches Yom Gidalti Benayim. I spent 18 days among them. L'marati leiv kolach v'yachar v'chachavash kolach v'yachar. So Rabbi Yochanan said, I understood how smart each one, how clever each one was, and how much knowledge that each one had. Which sounded that Rabbi Yochanan learned a lot more than just one matter from the Rabbi Shimon bar Ribi. So the Gemara responds, leiv kolach v'yachar. He learned how clever and knowledgeable each of the Talmidim Rabbi Shimon Ribi was. Gemara lagomar, but actually learning something from them that he didn't know before, that he did not learn. By the same, or you can, another means could be, minay didu gomar, from the Talmidim he actually did learn. He learned a lot from them. Minay day from Rabbi Shimon Ribi himself lagomar, he did not learn anything. By the same, another answer. You can say davar echad mishasenu k'amar. He meant that he only learned one thing in our Mishnah from Rabbi Shimon Ribi. That doesn't mean that he didn't learn many other things, brises or gemaras. He could learn a lot of volumes. However, in regarding the Mishnahs that we have, he only learned one thing. Rabbi Yochanan, kashehinu lamedim tayra esel Rabbi Shimon. We learned tayra from Rabbi Shimon. We sat so close together that four of us were sitting in one amma. Remember, an amma is the machlokes of amma is 18 inches or 24 inches. So let's just say the bigger shear is 24 inches, 2 feet. So you have four people, grown, adult-sized men, standing or sitting in a place that's 2 feet wide. That's obviously very, very cramped. So Rabbi Yochanan is saying how excited the Talmidim of Raishia were to learn Torah from him, that they were willing to forego being comfortable in order to be able to learn Torah from him. Amar Rebbe. Rebbe said, Kashina Lam Torah Etzel Rav Elazar Ben Shemua, the Tana Rav Elazar Ben Shemua, Kaina Yeshen Shisha Shisha Vama. We sat six Talmidim in 1 hour, which is even more cramped than Rav Yochanan was by Raishia. Rabbi Shia Ribi in his generation was just like Rav Meir B'dayroi. Ma Rav Meir B'dayroi, just Rav Meir was in his generation, his chaverim were unable to understand the depth of his reasoning, because like the Gemara says before in the Gimel, he would say something which that is Tomei, he would say it is Torah, and no one would be able to disprove him. And that's one of the reasons why they wouldn't paskin like Rameh, because no one was able to penetrate to disprove him. They could fathom what he would say. So too, after Baishe, his chaverim were unable to plumb the depths of his reason. The minds of the Rishonim, the earlier Talmid Chachamim, was as wide as the entrance hall of the Beis HaMikdash, which we know from Daf Beis, is 20 amas wide, which is 10 amas. So the later generations, their hearts were a little bit less wider, they were narrower, they were not able to learn and fathom as much. But Anu, and Rabbi Yochanan continues, and us, his generation, Kimlai Nekev Machat Sitkis. Our minds, like the eye of a needle, which is used to repair clothing. It's men's tears and clothing. So that's a very fine type of needle, and it is very, very small. So Rabbi Yochanan is saying that the yirida of the generations was so great that his generation, the minds had shrunk to such an extent that they could only be compared to the eye of a needle. Now, the Gemara is going to explain who are the Rishonim that he was talking about. Rishonim is Rabbi Akiva. Who's the Achronim? That's Elazar ben Shammua. You could army, or you could say Rishonim, Elazar ben Shammua, and Achronim are Rabbi Shiva Rib. But Anu, and who's us? That's Kamalai Nekav Machat Tzidkis. So I'm Rabbi Abaya explains Anan, who's he? Rabbi is after the generation of Rabbi Yochanan. But Anan, Kisichta Begudel LeGemara. It's the way we understand things. It comes to learning the Gemara and comprehending something, where it's like forcing a peg into a hole in the wall. It's very difficult. I'm a Rava, and Rava says, "Banan alas, with this same generation as a bayah." It's basa b'kir l'svara. When it comes to reasoning things out with a svara, with logic, it's like putting a finger into a hard lump of wax. That's a hard for it is for us to come up with good svaras. So they're in the same generation, but they're addressing two different types of inyani chachma. Gemara is simple comprehension of facts. As far as is reasoning, logic. Amar Ravashi Anan Afras Kespas Bivul Shikha. Comes to forgetting, it's like putting a finger into a pit and pulling it out. That we forget so rapidly. Amar Yudim Rab Bnei Yehuda Sheik Pidu Al Hashoinim. The people of Yehuda were very particular in the way they spoke. They spoke in a very edel, refined way. Niskayma Teirasam B'yodam. They remembered the Torah. B'nei Galil Shalek B'yodal Hashanim. They were not so careful how they spoke. Niskayma Teirasam B'yodam. They did not remember their Torah. The Gemara asks, maybe we could pay the tithe also. Does remembering what you learn depend on being mocked when how you speak? Ella, so this is, we're going to change around what Rav meant. What he said was, B'nai Yehuda, the Dakilishna, the people of Yehuda who were very medayik, precise, meticulous in matters of speaking in language, and they, the way they were taught by the Rebbe is the way they repeated what they learned. And they, since they were so medayik, they would give mnemonics to what they learned, and therefore they were able to organize their learning in a way that chazara would be done much more easily. Therefore, in this commentary, they retained their Torah knowledge. But the Galil, the people of Galil, to the daikilish, who were not careful in being medayik and with speech, and since they were not careful with their speech, they couldn't give mnemonics to what they learned because they didn't have it so exactly clear, the language that was taught to them. Therefore, let's count as we are. They did not retain their learning. Now the Gemara presents another two reasons why the people of Yehuda were more learned. They heard the Gemara Mechad Rabak. They learned from only one teacher, and therefore, let's count as we are. Therefore, they remember their Torah learning. the people of Galil, the Le Gamri Mechad Rabba, they didn't learn from one teacher. Lenis Kavitaos Miyadim, they did not retain their Torah knowledge. Ravina Amar, another reason. Bnei Yehuda, the Gilu Mesechta, they were Megala Mesechta. Megala Mesechta, which the word Megala literally means revealed. So Rashi gives two pshatim. One is that they taught to other people. The second one is that they wanted to give svaras for the things that they learned. Therefore, it's coming to us and beyond. But the Galil, the people of Galil, the Legal Masechta, which were not Megal of Masechta, they not revealed the Masechta either. They didn't teach to others, or they didn't seek out svaras to explain what they learned. But it's coming to us and beyond. They did not remember their Torah learning. David, Galil Masechta. David was Megala Masechtas, and Shaul, Legala Masechtas, and Shaul did not reveal or elucidate Masechtas. And we say on David, David Legala Masechtas, Yireyecha, Yireyevismacho, those who revere you, Hashem, shall see me, David, and rejoice. Because those who fear Hashem will be very pleased with David's halachic act into decisions. And therefore, that's what the Gemara actually says somewhere else, that David was Mechavin Shemayas Ali the Hilchas. Shaul, the Legali Masechta, he didn't reveal Masechtas. It says by him, Ksibay, L'chola Shayifne Yashia. Wherever he would go, he would do wrong. His halachic decisions were incorrect. I saw in one of the Sfarim HaErevin, in the Be'uri Yadaf of the Shasul Blin, brings that the Meiri gives a different explanation on what this means of Galil Masechta. That when the Talmid Chacham of Yehuda would give a shir, they would announce beforehand what they were going to give a shir about, and therefore the Talmidim came and they prepared, and since they prepared, they were able to ask better, more intelligent questions, and it came out of a much more learned conversation, and that benefited the Rebbe, and that the Rebbe was able to think through the matter in a more intelligent debate with his Talmidim, and also the Talmidim, since they had a chance to look it over, they were able to have get more out of it, and everybody walked away with a more profound understanding of what happened, and that is why David was Mechavin Shemayas Ali the Hilchasa, because he was able to do that in that way. And that's why people were Mesameach. Let's continue on the top of Amabez, Rami Yechon, Aminayin, Shemachalei, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Alei Se'avon. Going back to Shaul, it says that he did Rishis, and the Rishis that he did was wiping out Noiv Yir HaKohanim. So how do you know that he was forgiven? Shenamar, it says, Mochar ato benecha imi. Tomorrow you will be with your sons with me. A little bit of background. The one who is speaking this out in the pasuk, tomorrow you'll be with me, that is Shmuel Hanavi, who had already died. This is the day before a major battle is going to take place between Shaul and the Plishtim. The Plishtim are gathering a huge army, and Shaul is very frightened. So he wants to know what the results of the battle will be. So he goes to Ein Dar to find a Bailas Oiv, a woman who practices the forbidden Ov magic, occult, and he has her pull up Shmuel Hanavi to tell him what the result will be. And she does so. And Shmuel says, you're going to die, and you'll be tomorrow with me. And we say, Gemara Dash is Imi B'mechitzasi, with my Mechitza in my room, in my Chelik in Gan Eden. So the fact that Shaul was going to go to the same Chelek of Gan Eden by Shmuel HaNavi is a raya that his sin of killing out Novi Ir Kohanim was forgiven. Amar Ababa Iika the Mashalahu Lubnei, going back to the difference between the people of Yehuda and the people of Galil. So Rababa says, Iika the Mashalahu Lubnei Yehuda the Daikilishni. If someone asks the people of Yehuda who are meticulous, like we said, with their lashon, is it ma'abrentan? Ma'abrentan, the Mishnah, it was with an aleph or an ayin. Also, there's another shaila the Gemara has in Bukhairis, talking about Mumin. Akuzetan over there, is it with an aleph? Akuzetan over there, that Mum that we're discussing, is that an ayin or an aleph? Okay, yeah, they, so the Baba is saying, you ask the Meyuda, they'll tell you. So Sheilinu, the Talmidim asked the people of Yehuda, the Amri lay, and the people of Yehuda answered, Ikad the Tani Ma'abrin. Some learn with an aleph, Ikad the Tani Ma'abrin with an ayin. Ikad the Tani Akuzay with an aleph, Ikad the Tani Akuzay with an ayin. Therefore, the people of Yehuda were saying that both ways to learn the Mishnah have a real basis. And you can't say one is correct more than the other one. Now we're going to go to some practical differences that came as a result of the people of Yehuda being more meticulous in their speech and the people of Galil not being meticulous in their speech. But Yehuda is actually, the people in Yehuda were precise, right? Mahi, what's an example? Tahu by Yehuda, the Amar Lahu, there's a certain person of Yehuda who told people, Talas Yeshli Limkora, I have a talas to sell. Amar Lahu, they asked him, Magalan Talisko, what color is it? Amar Lahu, he told them, Kitard Nalei Adama, it is similar to that of a bead on the ground. Now, he said the exact color to make sure that no one would walk away with any misunderstanding of what the color was. Because the word, if you say the word just yarrow green, there are, you could also mean yellow. So he didn't want anyone to walk away with a misinterpretation, a misunderstanding of what the color was. B'nei Galil, the Lord Akilishni, Mahi, what's the example? Tanya, the Bryce, who about Galil? Galil, the Havakazal, he's walking, the Amalah, this Galilean is walking, and he asked people he met, Amar Laman, Amar Laman, who has an Amar? Who has an Amar? Now, they didn't understand what he's talking about. I'm like, Galila Shaita, foolish person from Galil. Chamar Lamirka, are you asking for a chamar, a donkey to ride on? A chamar Lamirka, or a wine to drink? Or Amar Lamilbash, are you asking for wool to wear, to make clothing? Oi, or Imra Liskasa. Imra can also mean a shep, a sheep. Liskasa means to shep. So there are, from his sense, Amar Lamar, there are four possibilities. No one knows what he was asking. Another example, he this the boy Lamimul Khabak, the woman was wanted to say to her friend, Tai, come, directly I'll feed you some fat. But that's what she wanted to say. She didn't say the Amrullah, she told her Shleichti, which has no meaning, Taichlich love you. May a lion eat you. Because her manner of speaking was not meticulous, and therefore it came out in an incorrect fashion. Another example: it is a dasla kamei de daina. So a woman came before a judge. She wanted to tell him about a gneiva that happened to her. She had a tablet that was stolen, and instead of telling that amrulah, she told him mari kiwi. My master slave. Okay, tufla havisli. I had a beam. Instead of saying a tablet, I had a beam. And they stole you from me. Instead of saying they stole it from me, she said they stole you from me. To havis, the chad shtaru lachilui. And now was that when they hang you on it, your feet do not reach the ground. She was trying to say how tall. How big the tablet was, it came out that she was telling him that the beam is so big that when they hang you, your feet do not reach the ground. There are slight differences in these words, in a couple of letters, that since she was meticulous how she said it, it came out wrong that she was actually like being Makalel, cursing the judge. Now the Gemara is going to present some diplomatic speech. Amasa the Rebbe, the maidservant of Rebbe, remember that the maidservant of Rebbe was a woman who was very, very wise. The Morang Shubis and other places brings things that we learned from her. The Amma of Rebbe, the Amasa of Rebbe, Kev Mishtain Bulushan Chachma, she would use a Chachmadik, a diplomatic language. Amra Hachi, she would say this. This is what she would say, but she wanted the Talmidim to leave. She would say, Elas nafgas bakad. The ladle is hitting the barrel. Yudin the shayil kinei. The eagles should go to their nests. the eagles as a reference to the young brother of the Chachamim. They should go to the nest, they should go home. And ladle hits the battle means instead of a ladle getting at wine, it's hitting the barrel. There's no wine left, and it's hitting the sides of the barrel, which is now empty. So that was a nice ladle away of her telling them to go home. Have a boil the last one when she wants them to stay by the table. However, Lahu should say, Yadi basa charatamina, a piece of her friend should be removed from her. In other words, we'll remove the peg, the stopper from another barrel. This is kafe elas bakar kiel for the azlavayam, and the ladle will float in the full barrel like a ship that goes in the sea. That was a way of saying the new barrel one will be open, and that therefore the talmidim can stay. When Rabbi Yosef would speak in such a way, he would say, "Chachma, usually shor b'mishpat b'tur miskin. Prepare for me an ox in judgment on a poor man." Instead of saying he wants beets with mustard to eat, he would say it that way. And the reason why the person who it addresses to, either a servant or perhaps his family members, would instead of what he wanted, and the reason why he would do that, he didn't want everyone to know what he was eating. When he would inquire after the health and well-being of an innkeeper, he would say, "Gvar pum den chai, is the mouth of this man alive? Mazu taviyesh, what is this good that there is?" So he's asking, "How are you? How is everything going?" And there was an allusion also to how well man's wife is doing. It wasn't proper to ask directly, "How is your wife?" So that's why he would ask in such a way. Speaking in such a chachmatic way, he would say this: "It's regular for chamin. Make the coals like an asperg," which means you should cook the coals, burn the coals to make them glow. But just then, they should have the appearance of an asperg. Okay, akil is a hovin. Spread out the golden ones, spread out the coals which glow like gold, magidi balata, and this will be two signs of when darkness comes, which is a reference to roosters. Yigida Amri, that this is what Rabba would say. Magidi balata. Make with them the coals two signs of darkness, which means roast the roosters on the coals. Now I don't know Amru le Rabbanan, told the Rabbo, has been in the Hechan Rabbi Loi Tzafun. Show us where Rabbi Loi is hiding. Amru Lahan, so he told them, Olas binara haroinis acharoinis eironis bin haratu. He told them that Rabbi Loi, is he rejoicing with a young woman who is an Aaronite from the family of Aaron, from the family of the Kohanim. Okay, Acharenis means the latest one, the newest wife. Yeronis, a lively one, and she kept him up. In Arthur, she kept him up. So Amrila, what that means is, some people say Isha is turned to a woman. That Rabbi Loi had lost his previous wife, he got remarried. They said that the previous night with his new wife, and they talked a lot, and that's why he didn't come today. The Amri lo masechtan. Some say that wasn't referring to a woman, but rather to a masechta that he was studying. He had joined himself the night before by learning masechta under through that night, and that's why he didn't come today to yeshiva. And the Rabbi lo has been a hechan Rabbi about itself, and so they the reverse. They asked Rabbi lo, "Where is Rabbi Lohi?" Amalhan, he told them that the Siyaitz after he the Revo took Eitza from the one who crowns, that's the Nasi, and he went south to meet Vaishas. Vaishas was the Rebbe of David, who was a great scholar. So Rabbi Revo got permission from the Nasi to go learn from the great Talmid Chacham who lived in the south. And these Talmid Chacham who lived in the south of Eretz Yisrael were compared to Vaishas because of the great erudition. Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya, miyomai, from in all my days, learning schani adam. A person never got the better of me. Chutz me isha, tenek v'tenek is a woman, a little boy and a little girl. Isha mai was the case of the story with the woman. Pam achas nesarachti eitzel asanya achas. I was staying with a certain name. Usually pulling. The hostess made me beans. The whole day didn't leave any over. Shniya, the second day, the same thing happened. I didn't leave anything over. She burned them by putting too much salt on them. As soon as I tasted the oversalted beans, I basically put the dish down. Amrali, she told me, Rabbi, you pay my chasayin, why are you not eating? Amrati, I told her, Kfar salatim od yom, I already ate during the daytime. Amrali, she said to me, you should refrain from eating bread. Amrali, she told me, Rabbi, maybe you didn't leave over a portion or an edge of beans from the first two dishes that I gave you. Now, the custom was in those days to leave over a little bit of food that was on the plate that the servant who served the food should eat that. This is obviously not the custom of Bizman Hazeh. Rabbi Yeshua did not do this. So the woman of the house wanted to have a diplomatic way of showing him how he overlooked the custom, which was a little bit of offensive to the servants. Then the Chacham say, "Em yishan pay by office. You should not leave anything over in the serving pot. Aval, but yishan pay by kari. You do leave over a portion on the plate, and therefore you should have left it over." And he didn't, and he understood the hint. That was the reason why she oversold the food the third day. Tinoik is my, what's the story with the little girl? I was going on a road. And that path, I was going through a field. I went on the path. Armory, Tinoik is my, as a little girl told me, Rabbi, is this not a private field? I told her, right, it's not a private field. You look at the well-worn path over here. Amrali, so she told me back, listen, people who are the robbers like you have trodden over the path, and therefore they made it have the appearance of a public path. But Lamaisa, it's actually private property, and you have no right walking through on neither do any of the other people who walk through the path. Tinoik is Tinik Mahi was a story with a little boy who got the best of Yeshua. I saw a little boy by the fork of the road, and he asked him, what are we going to take to the town? So the boy told me, this road is short and long. And the other one, it's long but short. And I went, I went on the one that was short and long. Kevin Shagatil here, as soon as I reached the city, Mitzah says, Rakivan has a Ganois or Pardesan. And so they were surrounded by gardens and orchards. And these gardens and orchards blocked the road, and therefore there was no way for him to approach the town. Zatil Chayr, then back, Amatil, I told him, Bene, Halay Amatil, Tardi, he told me that there was a short path. Amali, Loy Amatil Charucha, did I tell you that's also long? In other words, I was hinting to you, the boy telling him, I was hinting to you, In mileage-wise, it's actually a shorter road, but in time-wise, it's actually longer because the road doesn't go all the way to the city. It gets you to those gardens, and there's no way you can approach the city if you have to come back. So then Rabbi Shua realized what the boy said, "Ramat Elah, Shrechem Yisrael, okay, praiseworthy are you, the people of Israel. Shukulchem Chacham Gedol Lamatim, you're all very wise, Midolchem Tanchem, from your old to your very young." And Rabbi Yisrael Lulia Havka Ozel Borcha, he was traveling on the road. Ashkel Bruya, he found Bruya. Bruya was the famous daughter of Ruchanan ben Chardin, and she was also the wife of Rameir. And the other places the Gemara tells us that she was a very big scholar in her own right. So Rabbi Yisrael Haglili asked Bruya, he told her after, which is the road we take to look? Amrullah, she told him back. Galilee showed the foolish Galilean. Don't talk too much with a woman. You should have said, which to look? Don't say which road to look. I understand that means which road. I would have pointed it to you. Okay, we'll stop here. And we'll continue tomorrow from the second mindset of work for you.